We're talking today with the livestock market economist, Dr. Darrell Peel. And Darrell, the last couple of weeks have not been pretty as far as our cattle prices are concerned. Whether you're talking yearling prices, you're talking about calf prices, even the slaughter cattle market has really taken a haircut.
It really has, and these are things that are really not related to the market fundamentals directly. Nothing's changed in the cattle market fundamentals. Lots of outside influences right now, and, you know, it's coming from the stock market in terms of the U.S. primarily, but that's coming from really global events. And so, you know, markets run off of greed, fear, and ego, and at any one time, sometimes one of those emotions is more important than the other, and fear has been the name of the game the last couple of weeks. It led by China, although not just China, but largely uncertainty about the situation in China has caused a major amount of uncertainty in the market. And that's one thing to keep in mind is that this is uncertainty. It's probably not the reality for any of those things, but it's going to take some time for the market to sort all this out.
You know, the cattle markets has definitely reacted to this. I guess in a lot of ways we've kind of overshot where we need to be.
Well, I think we probably have, although, you know, we have to kind of wait and see. It's certainly a work in progress here. And normally you would expect the futures market to take the brunt of it. That's its job, by and large. But when we're in a situation where we still have, you know, very high cattle prices, you know, for all intents and purposes in a historical perspective, record prices, we're pretty sensitive to anything like this. And knowing that we've kind of turned the corner here and over time we're going to be building supplies and things. So the market is vulnerable to some extent. And I think, and certainly in terms of the cash market, we've probably overshot the market and the futures as well in terms of the cattle markets specifically. But it's all going to be related to how this stock market thing plays out over the next few days, weeks.
I guess we don't have a direct market into China, but yet we sell beef that ends up in China in a lot of cases, and that and the rest of the Pacific Rim very important to our beef exports. I know that's a concern as well.
Well, it is part of it, although, again, I think the broader picture is not related even directly to beef, even in that international sense. It certainly is impacted by it, and the strong dollar has been a challenge for us all year in terms of beef exports and all of that. I think this is much broader based than that. It's more concerned about demand in China on a very broad base scale. And, again, we have to keep in mind that, you know, we're talking about problems in China. It's not that the Chinese economy isn't going to grow. It's just that it's going to grow at 5% instead of 7%. And so, you know, the market's kind of coming to grips with that and digesting all of that reality here. It's going to take a little time for it to sort out.
You know, mentioning talking about the international marketplace, we've struggled. We were close to last year still, but we definitely are seeing some softness in the international trade.
The beef side has struggled all year from both, you know, exports, obviously. Again, we've got record high prices aggravated now by strong dollar all this year that has made our product even more expensive. Early in the year, the dock strike problems and the logistics associated with moving product out of the country was a real problem. Not so much now. We've taken care of that, but we haven't really recovered from all of that sort of cumulative effect. On the import side, it works the other way. The strong dollar is making beef imports more favorable. We've got high prices and relative shortages of certain products in the U.S., and so we're seeing a significant increase in beef imports last year and again this year.
One thing I know that we've really noticed regarding the export situation, we've really seen these drop credits of the variety meats really back up rather significantly on value.
You know, after several years of very strong byproduct values, this year has been a real challenge. It affects the packers first and most directly. They've been losing, $30 to $40 a head in revenue, which is a big part of their, gross revenue margin to work with. Recently, we finally have seen those byproduct values appear to have bottomed out. They have recovered a little bit in the last 2-3 weeks, but it's a significantly lower level than we had for about 3 or 4 years prior to that. So it's been a real challenge, and it's certainly another indicator of some of those issues in the global markets.
For the various segments of our business, maybe let's start about at kind of the tail end of the chain at the wholesale level and the feedlot level. We've continued to be really challenged. I know the feedlots have seen a lot of red ink this year.
Feedlots in particular continue to bear the brunt of this margin squeeze that goes with this kind of point where we are in the industry. This is shaping up to be potentially the worst on an annual average basis, the worst year for feedlots, at least in terms of a general budget series. They continue to be caught with still high feeder cattle prices. Even though feed prices have moderated, and that's not been the problem, they're just caught in this squeeze between feeder cattle prices and the fed cattle prices, and it's really not likely to go away for several more months.
For the folks that are producing yearlings, we've obviously seen a lot of lower prices here in the month of August.
Well, we've lowered prices. We're still trying to figure out both what we're going to pay for stocker calves this fall as well as what we can expect for pricing feeder cattle next spring. If you look at the current price relationships, it actually is fairly attractive. If you look at the buy-sell margin on yearlings given today's prices, the value of gain is actually very good, and it's actually gotten better with the price drops we've seen just in the last week or two, because the drop has actually been bigger on the calf side than it has been on the feeder cattle side. So if you look at today's prices, there's a favorable margin from a stocker standpoint. The problem is, of course, what are we actually going to sell those cattle for going forward? We don't know that. The futures is really in no position to help us right now. So, and we know there's, at least over time, there's growing risk because we are going to be eroding prices as a trend at some point. The question is how much of that happens between now and, next February or March for these winter stockers. I don't think a lot of it, but to be honest with you, it's just more risk out there, and it's something producers have to find a way to deal with. And the futures market right now is not much help in that.
For our part of the world, we obviously will be buying calves. A lot of folks will, if they get wheat pasture, if they're successful getting wheat in the ground and up to stand. Right now, anyway, those values on those calves are better than they were.
There's a bit of a buying opportunity, and it's been there for a couple weeks, particularly with the fear sell-off this last week. It exaggerated it even more. For anybody that was in a position to take calves this early, if you had a place to go with them, if you can manage them here still through the end of summer and into fall, there's probably a bit of a buying opportunity, because I really think these calves will come back this fall. There will be a lot of wheat pasture demand, it looks to me like, given the preparations I see around the country. I think we're going to plant a lot of wheat here in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and barring major problems, we're going to see a significant wheat pasture opportunity. So there is a bit of an opportunity now that may not be there 3 weeks or a month from now.
So I guess given those kind of numbers, it sounds like that the math may work for a stocker operation this fall.
Well, the math works depending on your assumptions about the tail end of this thing. Again, you've got nothing to guide it, really. I think it's going to work, but I can't deny the fact that there's just an awful lot of uncertainty on that end. We're really betting on the come at this point. Not that we're going to get something we don't have, but that the current price relationships won't change significantly between now and next spring. And I think that's likely to be the case, but again, we really have no way to lock that in, short of a forward contract of some time. And that may be something producers really want to look at this year, is instead of trying to do it with futures or other things, maybe reach out and beat the bushes a little bit. Feedlots are still going to be hungry for cattle. There may be an opportunity to price some of these cattle next spring in a forward contract sense.
One thing we haven't talked about at this point is the rebuilding. The rebuilding does continue, right?
Certainly continuing this year. The question is not whether we're rebuilding or even whether we're rebuilding fairly aggressively. I think it might be a question of whether it's going to be over 2.5%. I think it's likely to be over 3%, and it could be as much as upwards of 4% this year. That's one question. We have to wait and see just how much rebuilding we did this year. That'll set the stage, and these continuing events will set the stage then for what happens next year. I think we'll still be rebuilding next year, but perhaps not as aggressively as it looked like earlier.
Darrell, as far as on the herd rebuilding, we're clearly, at the point of where we need to start looking forward to how many cows we need to add. Added quite a few in 2014, more in 2015. Where are we headed?
Well, obviously we don't know for sure. It's going to depend on demand ultimately determines the size of this industry. So that's one question. Where will we be in 2, 3, 4 years in terms of both domestic and international demand? The other part of it is it's really about pounds of beef. So, how many cows we need is part of the question, but it's really going to depend in part on this carcass weight issue and our ability to produce beef. So that's another unknown at this point in terms of what happens to that. Having said all that, the way I see it at this point in time relative to both of those issues, it looks to me like we probably need to be in the neighborhood of 32 million cows. Okay, the last time we tried to grow in 2004 and 5, we started at 32.5 million, and we were going to grow from there had it not been for a lot of other factors. We won't necessarily try to grow the same way we did then because carcass weights are heavier now. We can produce more beef. But I still think at this point, assuming some international potential continues to grow over time, that we probably need that 32 million plus or minus range.
When do we get to 32 million if we grow?
You know, I can torture the numbers, and the absolute fastest I could have us being at 32 million head just barely in 2017, going into 2017. There's lots of reasons why I don't think we would grow that fast. That's pushing the numbers very, very hard, really beyond anything we've ever seen in terms of a herd expansion. So I think it's likely to be into 2018 at the earliest before we get there. And there's still a number of factors that could slow us down and push it off even to another year beyond that.
Right. And, of course, the July inventory numbers suggest we're right at 30 million right now.
That's correct. You know, we added about 700,000 last year. We're just under 30 million head. We could add, we probably will add another 750,000 this year. We could add as much as a million head this year, but we still probably need another million and a half after that before we really get to where we need to be.
For advice right now, I mean, obviously you've kind of set the table as far as that there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty. What is the advice at this moment for our guys?
Well, from a cow-calf standpoint, I really think the main thing here is just don't panic. I've been telling folks for a long time that the party's not over. We've had a heck of a ride getting up here. The party's not over. The party is changing a little bit, and we have to be prepared over time. But for this year, this fall, even these current setbacks notwithstanding, I think we're going to see very strong prices. We're going to see the second highest cow-calf returns that we've ever seen. They won't beat last year's level, but they're going to be in the neighborhood of that, and so we're still going to do okay this year. Again, stocker producers, the math works today at today's prices. The question is really positioning yourself to take advantage from a production standpoint and get the performance out of those animals, but then you just have to deal with that risk some way and find a way to deal with the risk that's out there in terms of prices next spring.
Good manager has an opportunity to probably do okay.
Well, and I think going forward, as it's always true that cost management is what most producers can control, but it's going to be even more important, relatively speaking, in the next 2 to 4 years than it has been in the last couple of years. It's been pretty easy to make money in this business the last couple of years. It's not going to be as easy going forward, but I think there's going to be some real return opportunities for producers that do stay on top of things.